Right, our next challenge, members, is water quality. Right, I think we're waiting for EPD. Ah, here we are.
EPD, DSD, and...
Right. Welcome, gentlemen. Sorry we've kept you. Our apologies. I'm sorry we've kept you. Right, we have Mr. Lei from EPD, Mr. Ying from CDD, Mr. Khan and Mr. Chow from DSD. Who is going to present and brief us? Who will be leading the briefing? Sorry, who is going to lead the briefing? Can you just introduce yourself? Thank you.
I'm going to deliver a presentation in conjunction with our colleagues from CDD and DSD.
Fine.
The presentation will be divided into three parts. The first part will focus on water quality. Then this will be followed by CDD colleagues presenting on the some of the measures used to address the water quality problem at Kai Tak Approach Channel. The last part will focus on the latest progress of the Harbour Area Treatment Scheme.
Can you possibly do it in 15 minutes? We're running rather late. It's my fault, but if you can present in 15 minutes, that would be very much appreciated. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So this presentation will mainly cover the water quality of Victoria Harbour and its typhoon shelter. Firstly, I would like to present the yardstick that we adopt to assess the water quality. Under the Water Pollution Control Ordinance, we lay down water quality objectives, WQO. And for Victoria Harbour, we have developed some key parameters, mainly dissolved oxygen. When we talk about dissolved oxygen, we look at the bottom level, dissolved oxygen level, as well as the depth average. We also examine the nutrient level, and we measure the total inorganic nitrogen. We also measure the ammonia nitrogen. So these are the four key parameters when we look at the water quality of Victoria Harbour. You may notice that for the Victoria Harbour water control zone, at present, we do not have a bacteriological WQO. That is the E. coli WQO. Because we understand that the Victoria Harbour is mainly used for navigation and for the use of typhoon shelters. Unlike other areas, say for example gazetted beaches or the secondary contact recreation waters, when we say secondary contact recreation waters, they are mainly used for some activities such as rowing or canoeing. Because in Victoria Harbour, we don't have such use. So at present, we don't have any E. coli WQO. In Victoria Harbour Water Control Zone, at present, we have 10 monitoring stations. And they are denoted by the blue dot in this diagram. We also have some additional monitoring stations inside the typhoon shelters. At present, there are 7 typhoon shelters and 1 cargo basin in the Victoria Harbour Water Control Zone. And based on our monitoring over the last 14 years, from 1997 to 2011, we observed that there is a general trend of improving water quality. In particular, after the stage 1 of the Harbour Area Treatment Scheme was implemented in 2001. We also observed that there was no obvious sign of increase in organic pollution because we have already intercepted most of the sewage for treatment at the Songkhla Islands sewage treatment works. In this slide, we show the dissolved oxygen level. Earlier on, I have mentioned about the key water quality objectives. And every year, we make use of the data to compile the compliance rate with the key water quality objectives. In 2011, the compliance rate was 50%. And the relatively low compliance rate is mainly due to the lowest compliance rate with the DO objective, as well as the TIN objective, total inorganic nitrogen. The low compliance rate is particularly related to the DO compliance rate. In the diagram on the left-hand side, you can see that over the last 14 years, the compliance rate moved around the figure of fluctuating, I mean. And in 2011, the compliance rate is relatively low. The reason is that we observed that over the last few years in particular, the DO level is low, mainly due to the high temperature in the summertime. And we can see in the right-hand side diagram, there is a correlation between the DO level and the seawater temperature. When the seawater temperature rises, the solubility of oxygen will reduce. That is the main reason why that even without organic pollution, the DO level may drop to a very low level. I mentioned about the E. coli, the bacteriological aspect. Although we don't have an E. coli WQO, at present we monitor the E. coli levels. And we observe that over the years, the bacterial level have already reduced by some 60 to 95%. In terms of WQO in the typhoon shelters, the ammoniacal nitrogen WQO is fully complied with. In terms of DO objective, that is a dissolved oxygen, as I mentioned, over the past few years, because of the hot summer months, we observed that the DO level dropped significantly. That's why out of the 7 typhoon shelter and 1 cargo basin, all the typhoon shelter cannot meet the DO objective. In terms of total inorganic nitrogen, that is the nutrient objective, only 4 typhoon shelter are able to comply with the TIN objective. In this slide, you can see that over the years, the E. coli level have already significantly reduced. But in some shelter waters, they are still relatively high in the typhoon shelters. The main reason is for typhoon shelter, usually we have a breakwater. And the breakwater is designed to ensure that when the vessels are more inside the typhoon shelter, they are the shelter from the typhoons. That's why this breakwater will try to stop the free exchange of the water inside and outside the typhoon shelters. If there is any pollutants discharged into the typhoon shelter, they could not be readily dispersed. Now I would like to turn to the Kai Tak approach channel and the Kun Tuang typhoon shelter. In this particular case, because of the previous runway, the water body inside the approach channel and the typhoon shelter has very restricted circulation and flushing capacity. This means that if there is any pollution discharged from land-based source, such as illegal discharge and non-pond source, the pollutants inside the water body cannot be effectively dispersed or assimilated after the discharge into the approach channel. Since December 2009, CEDD has been monitoring the water quality at a number of stations, as shown in this diagram. The AC symbol represents the approach channel. And based on the monitoring, we observe that the E. coli levels are still very high, even after some of the improvement measures have been made. And so for this particular water body, what the government has been doing is to adopt a multi-pronged approach to abate pollution. Firstly, we will try to reduce the pollution at source through legislative enforcement. In that respect, EPD, together with Buildings Department, take joint enforcement action to stop any illegal discharge from the building drains. In parallel, the Food and Environmental Hygiene Department will help to enforce the law to stop any illegal discharge in the rear lanes, for example, dishwashing by the restaurants. For the sewerage system, our colleagues in Drainage Services Department has a regular surveillance program to ensure that the sewers are intact and any broken sewers or leaking sewer will be repaired. At the same time, they also have regular surveillance program to rectify any wrong connection between the public sewers and the storm drains. If there is any pollution which is discharged into the storm drains or covered outlet, our colleagues in DSD will also remove the organic deposit and sediments to stop them from discharge into the water body. Lastly, we also adopt engineering solution to improve the sewerage system. In some cases, we adopt dry weather flow interceptors to intercept the polluted storm waters from discharge into the water body, so that all the intercepted polluted waters will go to the sewer system for treatment at the Songkhla Islands treatment works. Now I would like to hand over to my colleagues from CEDD to talk about the Kai Tak approach channel.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Before I go to about the work being carried out by the CEDD department, maybe this slide will show what was being done by the Drainage Services Department. Mainly, as Patrick said, is the upgrading and the improvement to the existing sewage system in the East Kowloon as well as the Central Kowloon district area. Here, the slide shows there are three major types of improvement action. One is the upgrading of the Central and East Kowloon sewage systems. That is being carried out by three phases, and the whole completion will be by the mid of 2019. That we can complete all these three phases of improvement work. Another work is the sewage interception scheme in the Kowloon City that was completed in last year. And another major dry weather flow interceptor is at the Jordan Valley outfort. This Jordan Valley outfort area consists of seven box culverts, and they discharge quite a significant amount of storm water into the Kai Tak approach channel. And this new dry weather flow interceptor are expected to be completed by the mid of this year. Apart from the DSD's work, CEDD also carried out another kind of an improvement in order to tackle the older issues. For the development of the Kai Tak area, because in the past, as Patrick said, that the Kai Tak approach channel as well as the KTTS is an enclosed area with the circulation of the water is very poor. And we do have a very serious older problem in the past. Apart from those work done by EPD, DSD, and various other departments, the odor cannot be fully mitigated. What we propose under the EIA study is that we further do an additional dredging at the Kai Tak approach channel, as well as to conduct a very large-scale bioremediation treatment to the contaminated sediments at the Kai Tak approach channel and the Kai Tak Guntong Typhoon Shelter. as well as to assist in avoiding sediments to be discharged into the Kaitat approach channel. In upgrading our Kaitat river, we also construct two desilting compounds such that DSD in the future can have some periodic cleaning of the Kaitat river, so that we can also ensure that the Kaitat approach channel will be have a better water quality. After we have can complete this dredging as well as the bioremediation treatment in by the end of this year, there in the past EIA assessment we still foresee that the water quality foresee that the older issues may not be may not be able to meet the requirement. So another proposal is that we may need to open a 600 meter wide opening in the former one way in order to improve the water circulation. Here a slide show the extent of the bioremediation treatment. As I said, the total area that we need to treat is 90 hectares, and we start the full scale of improvement work in August last year, and we anticipate that this treatment work can be completed by the end of this year. As part of the infrastructure development, we are CDD are shoulder to set up a monitoring station in order to keep monitoring the water quality along Kaitat approach channel and KTTS. And the diagram show that we have totally set up a 10 station within this water zone area. And here, in order to tackle the older issues, one of a very key measurement is the bottom dissolved oxygen level. And from this graph, this slide, you can see that from servo monitor station, particularly to the north of the Tessie Bridge is here. That is north of the station AC7. You can see that for this part of the monitor station, the bottom dissolved oxygen level is fluctuated in the range of slightly above 0 to 4 milligram per liter. It's not very good. But if we move forward closer to the Guntong Typhoon Shelter, the dissolved oxygen level is much better. It's closer to the Victoria Harbour, the major water zone area. That means that the bottom DO is we measure that is most of the time is we record a measurement is above 2 milligram per liter. This kind of values. And For our monitoring work, we can also find out the E. coli level along the Kaitat approach channel and the KTTS. Similar to the bottom dissolved oxygen, to the north of the Tessie Bridge, those measured results are quite poor. It fluctuates in the range of 1,000 to up to nearly 100,000 values. And to the south of the Tessie Bridge, when we move closer to the Kaitat to the Guntong Typhoon Shelter, AC7 showed that the measurement is improving. We are fluctuating in the range of around 10,000 this kind of value. And if we closer to if at the Guntong Typhoon Shelter, the measurement is even better. At one time we did measure a very low value, but bacteria growth is very fluctuating, can be growth in an exponential manner. But therefore, if we really want to have a better representation, we do need to look at the annual geometric mean. If we look at the annual geometric mean, the Guntong Typhoon Shelter is still not good enough for secondary recreational content. For the Victoria Harbour, there is a monitoring station here. We call it VH2. The measurement is quite good. It's close to 610, but we do have a time period that the measurement is as high as 1,000 unit. And maybe I pass over to DSD to talk about the HES.
DSD, I'm afraid you've got 5 minutes to take us through. Hats. I mean, a lot of these are pictures, a lot of it's record. The reason I'm rushing you is I want to have plenty of time for discussion, particularly on the water quality issue. So take us through it as fast as you can you? Thank you.
Yes, Chairman and members. I have cut a long story short. I would like to report on the Harbour Area Treatment Scheme Stage 2A. The yellow dotted line shows the alignment of the sewage conveyance system in the form of deep tunnels. It will collect sewage from the northern shore of Hong Kong Island and also the southwestern shore of Hong Kong Island, and then we convey it to the Songket Island for centralized treatment. The Harbour Area Treatment Scheme is a major initiative to provide a clean Victoria Harbour by conveying and treating all the sewage arising from both sides of the Victoria Harbour. The green line shows the Stage 1 works, which consists of also a deep tunnel system to convey flow from Zhong Wen Lo, Hun Tong on the eastern side, and also Chai Wan and Sao Kei Wan on the Hong Kong Island. And also sewage are collected from Kwai Chung and Cheng Yi to Songket Islands for centralized treatments and then discharge in full submarine outfall into the western side of the Victoria Harbour. The scope of H-Stage 2A consists of 21 kilometers of the long deep tunnels as a conveyance system. And we also would upgrade the existing Songket Island sewage treatment works to take into account the additional flows, because the Stage 1 already treat about 75% of the sewage arising from the current side and also the eastern side of Hong Kong Island. And we will, under the H-2A, we will also treat the remaining 25% of wastewater from the northern shore of Hong Kong Island and the southwestern shore of Hong Kong Island. We will also provide disinfection facility at Songket Island. And we also improve the 8 preliminary treatment works on the Hong Kong Island. So we have three contracts for the sewage conveyance system. One is from North Pond, we got a production shaft there, and then convey to the San Yin area, and then across the harbour to the Songket Island. For the other contract is the contract 24, which will start from Aberdeen and then correct the Wafu, Sandy Bay, etc. to the San Yin area, and connect with the tunnel works under contract 23. We also have another small contract is DC208 and 209, which is horizontal directional drilling works to convey the flow from Upper Chow to Aberdeen area and join the 24 tunnel. So in this part, we will talk about the upgrading works at the Songket Island sewage treatment works and also the PTW. On the Songket Island, we have five contracts. The first one is the carbon neutralization facility. The second one, the interconnection tunnel and diaphragm wall, are all completed last year. And we have three active contracts, which is the main pumping station, the DC209-10. The fourth one is the sludge dewatering facilities. And the fifth one is the effluent tunnel and disinfection facilities. For the first contract, it is odor control enhancement works. We cover all the 46 tanks of the CPT with fiber reinforced covers, and we also provide two deodorization units. The contract was completed in September last year, and the results are very good. We invite the stakeholders, the residents from Sam Shui Po and also Meifu, to visit our plants, and they are satisfied with the works we have done. The next contract is on the interconnection tunnel. The main scope of work is the diaphragm wall, which is completed in January last year. And we built the interconnection tunnel between the new pumping station and the existing Stage 1 pumping stations, so as to facilitate the interchange of work, and which allow flexibility in operation of the plants. That is, flow from Stage 1 can be diverted to the new pumping stations and vice versa. And this, although it's a short tunnel, we make use of the tunnel boring machine to do the work. It's a very congested site. Yeah. The third contract is on the main pumping station and the CPD tanks. This is an ongoing. We are now carrying out the piling works for the new CPD tanks. And the metal construction is also in progress. And all the E&M installation works are procured. And the sewage pumps is being manufactured in Japan. The next one is a sludge dewatering facility. We will build a new sludge dewatering building to house all the centrifuges. We will also build some cake silos and also storage tanks. The works are well on program. The fifth one is the effluent tunnel and disinfection facilities, which is to convert the additional flow together with existing stage one flow to the existing outflow chambers before discharge to the outflow tunnel. We also make use of this effluent tunnel as our contact tank for disinfection. So this slide shows the photo montage. When all our works are completed, we will do a bit of a greening along our site boundary and also the green roof for all our facilities. The next slide shows the upgrading works at PTW. We have two contracts for upgrading these 8 PTWs. The first one is for the northern side, which will cover the central PTW, the North Point, and also the Wanzhou East PTW. This insert will be showing the completed photo montage. We will adopt green roof and also get a bit of landscaping around the site boundaries to make it more aesthetic pleasing. The purpose of this PTW is to remove the last solids and grits because we don't want deposition in our tunnels, which will be difficult to maintain. We will also enhance the odor control of all our existing facility, apart from the associated landscaping works. This slide shows the facilities for the odor abatement. For the this one is for the central PTW. We'll provide enclosure to all potential odor source, and we'll also provide some temporary deodorization facilities so as to be mitigate the odor nuisance arising from the operation. The next one shows the PTW at Wafu. We have built a temporary sewage treatment facilities, and also we provide a temporary deodorizers. We also conduct with the odor monitoring so as to see whether our works are effective in completing the odor issue. So far, we don't get any complaints from nearby residents. So this is the end of my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Sounds like you're making good progress. Members, comments, particularly on water quality. You seem to be struggling still with typhoon shelters. They seem to be the challenge still. But members, comments? Paul, please.
Yes, Chairman, I agree with you. The issue is the typhoon shelters. And so I think we should try to give that direction in terms of investment of money and resources. On the objective side, I'd like to get some more clarity maybe after this meeting about primary contact, secondary contact, and maybe even tertiary contact. You know, we are very concerned about people walking along the waterfront and being able to sit there, drink a beer. You know, the water quality, the smell, although it may not be primary, there may not be tertiary, secondary contact, but maybe tertiary contact. You know, can I sit along the waterfront and drink a beer without smelling poo? So I think we got to maybe have another standard, which allows us to plan where we, you know, where people can recreate along the waterfront without necessarily being on the water. But I think that we need a bit more clarity about those standard, which activities are considered primary, secondary, and tertiary, and then which quality objectives do we set ourselves. Then the second thing would be, for me, I agree with you, Chairman, I think the issue is about how do we get an action plan for each of the typhoon shelters which allow us to get the quality to where we want it, so that we as a Harbourfront Commission clearly identify the zones for which we want to have within the harbour where we want certain quality objectives. you know, are we going to set ourselves primary water quality objective for some areas to allow people swimming, or do we just say secondary for the typhoon shelters, and we're not so worried about outside typhoon shelters? But I think we should be quite clear the water quality we want in which area to harvest, so we can be very specific to EPD and to the public in terms of where to spend the money. Which then automatically brings us to the typhoon shelters. Typhoon shelters are the most important for us. That's where the boats are. These are automatically, they're exciting. There's yachting activities. People will want to be there. People will want to go to the typhoon shelters or be around the typhoon shelters. Those are the more interesting areas in the harbour. So I think we should be very. We need an action plan for each. So I hope, in addition to the action plan for Kai Tak typhoon shelter, whether we can see an action plan for the Yamate and the Causeway Bay and the other typhoon shelters. Every time I walk by the Causeway Bay typhoon shelter, I notice that there is no flushing of water. The water is basically standing still right in the corner with the police recreation club, and the water is basically putrescent. I mean, it's horrible to be and walking past that corner. So how are you going to fix it? I think we need to know when will the water quality objectives be met for Causeway Bay typhoon shelter, and how are you going to get there? Which means legislating that nobody can discharge black water from their vessels, including the community users of the typhoon shelter, should be forbidden to discharge their black water. No more sewage in the water. Maybe monitoring of each specific outfall. So I think we need an action plan of how we're going to get and meet the water quality objectives that we want for the typhoon shelters, which I think should be all we should set them basically all at secondary. All the typhoon shelters in the Victoria Harbour should meet secondary water quality, the water quality objective for secondary contact. If you set that as an objective, then the question to government is, how are you going to get there, and when will you be there? And then maybe you can come back to a next meeting and say, well, this is what it's going to cost. This is what we need to do to get there. So if we can ask for that plan, and then maybe we can have another meeting to follow up on that.
Okay, action plans for each of the typhoon shelters. Any other comments, members? Peter?
Well, only to follow up Paul's point, I mean, very clearly the typhoon shelters are very important to protect. I was rather disappointed that we don't seem to be more confident about the Kai Tak channel, and that we're still talking about a potential 600 metre cut through the western end of the runway. We are really trying to build on that area an important sub-regional park, and building that on a deck will be very difficult and highly constraining, and I think also any impact on the recreational use of the channel should be avoided if at all possible. So I would echo Paul's view that really, by hook or by crook or by an awful lot of investment, we really need to be cracking along with that problem, as I assumed we were actually from our last visit, that the smell seemed to have all but disappeared. I, of course, it's quite clear from the little graphs that the points towards the water end of the channel, the harbour end of the channel, you know, were much better than those inside. It seemed to me, just looking at the lines on the graphs, that they weren't so dissimilar. But I think it would be nice to hear that we're working towards an end state where at least we can be reasonably confident that water quality will be improved, and that we don't have a major constraint to deal with. Thank you.
Okay, the importance of Kai Tak from a recreational perspective. Please, Carlos.
Yeah, I just follow up one specific question about this channels, how about Kai Tak channels water quality. I'd just like to ask, how effective is this kind of bioremediation treatments, and after the completion of the treatment, and how to maintain the quality later on? So I think that's more important. Yeah.
Thank you. Becky, please.
Thank you. I have two questions, mainly for information. The first one is on your page 19, paragraph 19 on page 5, you mentioned about the weekly odor patrol, and you measure the odor intensity. I wonder, can you give us some more details as to how you measure this odor intensity and the weekly patrol? The second thing is, from your presentation, it seems that E. coli is not one of the WQOs yet, but since we are considering water spots and so on, I wonder whether there's any plan to review to make it one of the published WQOs in the future. And in your graph, you show that there has been a lot of reduction to 60 to 90%, and the current annual geometric mean value is 610 E. coli. I don't have a good idea whether it's on the low or the high side. For example, if we compare with other harbors like Darling Harbor, where you have water spots, how does it compare? Thank you.
All right, would you like to respond to those various points? What I suggest, I mean, there may be some that you want to take away and you may want to respond to in writing, but I think an initial reaction to some of the questions would be helpful. I see this as an ongoing dialogue. I mean, action plans for the typhoon shelters, you're going to have to come back to us on that in due course. So respond to what you can today, but then plan to come back with solutions for the typhoon shelters in the future. So please, Mr. Lai. Would you like to answer the questions? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Chairman. Firstly, I would like to provide some views on the use of typhoon shelter in the sense that at present, typhoon shelters are typhoon shelters. That is to say, they need to provide shelters for the vessels, in particular during typhoon shelters. The same applies to the Kai Tak Approach Channel and the Kun Tong Typhoon Shelters. We understand that at present, or most recently, there has been high expectation from the public and the community to make use of some of these water bodies which are designed with a breakwater, making use of these sort of water bodies for other use, such as recreational use. For rowing, for canoeing, or some other water sport activities. So these are new demands for the use of these water bodies. But as I understand, if we want to change the existing use or broaden its use to cover water sports, we need to look at the technical feasibility. Technical feasibility means that whether we can accommodate the use of typhoon shelters for other types of activities, in the sense that the
Mr.
typhoon
Lai,
shelter
you don't
water.
Need to. I mean, you don't need to take Marine Department's corner. Mm. We want to hear from you on environmental issues. We will do battle with the Marine Department on use of the typhoon shelters.
Yes. But what I understand is water quality is one of the constraints to make use of existing semi-enclosed water body for other types of activities. So when we talk about wider use of the semi-enclosed water bodies, we need to look at those constraints. And so if I am given a task to consider the use of these water bodies, then we need to examine the technical feasibility. Water quality is one of the issues. And in looking at the technical feasibility, we can then examine what are the pollution source to the water bodies, whether there are engineering solutions to reduce the pollution so that the water quality can sustainably meet the water quality objectives that we have laid down under the Water Pollution Control Ordinance. For secondary contact recreational use, at present, our bacteriological standard is 610 CFU per 100 mL E. coli. CFU means tons. So if we have to sustainably attain this minimal standard, which is designed to protect public health, then we need to look at the geographical constraint of the water body. And at present, for Kai Tak Approach Channel, our CEDD colleagues is looking at this. But for other typhoon shelters, we don't yet have similar arrangement. Although, as I mentioned earlier in my PowerPoint presentation, relevant departments have been trying to adopt a multi-pronged approach to tackle the pollution at source through legislative enforcement, through engineering solution, as well as regular surveillance work to ensure that the sewers are intact. There are no broken sewers, there are no leaking sewers, and there's no wrong connection between the sewers and the storm drains. However, for urban areas such as the Kai Tak Approved Channel, the hinterland has a lot of old districts, San Po Kong, Kowloon City, and some other older districts. And so we do have to recognize that if we have to eliminate all the pollution source, then we need to study this carefully. And I understand that a few years ago, when CDD tried to examine this issue, they have conducted an environmental impact assessment. And under the impact assessment, they already recognize the constraint to further improve the water quality to meet a more tighter standard. And in this case, it's 610 cans per 100 mil. But we are quite ready to further make improvement to the water quality, but we have to do it phase by phase. Initially, I think the CDD has outlined all the measures they have now in the pipeline. DSD is also trying to improve the sewage work, including the new Jordan Valley Dry Weather Flow Interceptor, which will be commissioned in the middle of this year. So we are working towards a better water quality. But if we are talking about making use of that semi-enclosed water body for wider use, then we will have to look at the technical feasibility and engineering feasibility.
Sorry, there were one or two specific questions. I don't know if you can answer them. There was a couple of questions here on my left here. There's, I think, a question there on the standard to be used in the future. Can you just answer some of the specific questions that were raised by members?
Mr. Chairman, do you mean that this standards that I have just laid out is not clear to some members?
Becky, you'd like to repeat your question, sorry.
Now you are using the standard of 610, right? So I just wonder, how does it compare to the rest of the world? Okay, is it really a minimal? How do we compare? All right, and the second thing is about the weekly odor patrol. How do you measure and do it, the odor intensity? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the water quality objectives, we have different parameters. In the case of meteorological water quality objectives, we developed that WQO on the basis of local epidemiological studies, which means that we try to look at the health risks associated with swimming. So back in 1990, we have conducted a comprehensive survey. And so we try to interview the swimmer and also look at the minor illness which they develop in case they swim in some dirty waters. So based on that epidemiological study, we can establish the correlation between the health risk as well as the bacterial count. And so at present, we have two standards. One is for swimming, that is bathing beaches. And for bathing beaches, the standard is more stringent. Under the WPCO, the Water Pollution Control Ordinance, the WQO is 180 counts of E. coli per 100 mil. For secondary contact, which cover rowing, canoeing, and similar types of water sport activities, the standard is less stringent, and that is 610 counts of E. coli per 100 mil.
Mr. Lay, the question is, how does that compare with the rest of the world?
Well, we have look at this overseas experience and try to draw some comparison. And our existing WQO are comparable to those adopted in other countries, such as the US and Canada. And but more important, the thing is, based on the recommendation and guidelines from the World Health Organization, each location should develop their own standards based on surveys. And so we have followed the WHO guidelines in working out the correlation, and we have obtained these two set of figures.
Okay. I think we're going to need a written response, if you don't mind, explaining. We've obviously taken note of the questions. Secretariat's taken note of the questions. We'll provide those to you. We do need written responses so we understand better how we measure and how we compare. I'm not sure we're going to gain a great deal more this afternoon, but I do think you need to go away and you do need to think very closely about CAITAC. That is a prime target for us from a recreational perspective. And if you're putting up warning signs now, if you like, or markers that this may not be impossible, but it's going to be very expensive to achieve, it may not even be technically feasible, I think we need to be alerted to that, and the community needs to be alerted to that sooner rather than later. So I think CAITAC should be your priority number one. And then in terms of the other priorities, I think you should look at all the other typhoon shelters. I think particularly Causeway Bay, which obviously is going to come back once the Central Wan Chai bypass has been completed. Yamate is a source of irritant to many in terms of smell and odour. So come back with a list of priorities in terms of how you're going to treat the individual situations in each of the typhoon shelters. It's important to us, it's important to the community in Hong Kong. Please, Paul.
Yeah, just one. I think that the issue's been well understood, and I think the recap is being well understood. But, you know, the users and the beneficial users of these water bodies are being set by this commission, and we hope that you can respond to that. But I think in terms of water quality objectives, whereas maybe in the past people were sitting in a typhoon shelter with a barge, in the future people sitting in a typhoon shelter with a harbor cruise ship, with a dining cruise boat, with a yacht or a junk. The water quality has to be of a higher standard than if I sit in that water with a barge. And so I think that if we're going to look at primary, secondary, and tertiary contact, then tertiary contact is where I'm not going to the risk of swallowing the water is little from the use, but I'm sitting close to the water. And I think that so we should have set ourselves a target at least for tertiary contact, for at least for the some of these water bodies like Causeway Bay. And then we have to ask ourselves, how do we get there? And then we have to see what it's going to cost to get there so we can get you the money and the funding to reach that point. And if CDD has already done some work, that's great. Then some of the work has already been done, which means that you could respond quickly to what we are asking for. So that would be all. I am encouraged by your response so far. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to add, please don't go away feeling that we're being overcritical. We just have very high aspirations. Obviously, you've made good progress, and we see significant improvement. But we would like to see even greater improvement, particularly for the benefit of the community. So we share a common objective in that sense. So thank you very much. Thank you.